South Asian Studies in the Department of Religious Studies is most pleased, honored, to welcome His Holiness the Dalai Lama. He will be introduced by Professor Ian Stevenson. First, someone has asked me to please announce, would you please refrain from taking many pictures during the lecture in order not to interrupt it? Since I'm the translator, I'm beginning to worry about standing out there on that thing. Is it possible to move that somewhere over here? Is that possible? Just to the back here. Professor Stevenson will introduce His Holiness.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I should explain first that when Professor Hopkins proposed that I introduce His Holiness, my first impulse was to withdraw from such an awesome assignment, which I felt myself totally unqualified. But then I reflected on the obligations I have to His Holiness for many kindnesses and assistances with my research, and my sense of gratitude overcame my timidity. I'm indeed honored that I should be thought worthy of introducing him. I first met His Holiness soon after 1962, and I'm using the word met a little metaphorically there because I'm referring to the way one meets him by reading his remarkable book, My Land and My People, which was published in 1962. In 1968, I initiated a correspondence with him, thinking that he might be interested in my investigations into cases of children who claim that they can remember previous lives with details that they sometimes narrate. And this initiation of correspondence met a cordial response from him, and I think it's perhaps a testimony of his interest in the subject that when I allowed it to lapse once, I had a letter from his secretary telling me what's happened to you, we haven't heard from you recently. And so it continued until I had the immense pleasure of meeting His Holiness in 1971. In the usual Western style of introductions, one attempts obituary-like to review a person's career. But those of you who have attended many functions of this type in the West will know that we usually start with the speaker's college record and go on through his doctorate and all the titles that he's held subsequently. If I were to do the same for His Holiness, I would begin at a very much younger age, because his curriculum vitae, as we would say, has a venerable length. But I may use the expression in this life, he was born in June 1935. And he began his present career, I think I can say correctly, at the age of two, when he was recognized as the reincarnation of the 13th Dalai Lama. I'm going to skip over many other details, having already recommended his most moving autobiography to you. He was certainly trained rigorously in the disciplines of Tibetan Buddhism. He had a short reign after he reached his majority, and the rest of his career is pretty much a matter of distressing political history. I've referred to his book already twice, and I want to bring us closer to today's topic to quote a passage from it that I find typical of His Holiness and worth citing fully. This passage comes in the section of His Holiness's book in which he describes the escape from Lhasa, which was fraught with the most serious physical dangers. But he said, I honestly believe that my strict religious training had given me enough courage, enough strength to face the prospect of leaving my present body without any apprehension. I felt then, as I always feel, that I am only a mortal being and an instrument of the never-dying spirit of my master, and that the end of one mortal frame is not of any great consequence. Yesterday, Geoffrey Hopkins, in introducing His Holiness, touched on a theme of His Holiness's visit, that of the commonness that we have together, that we are all human beings. But asking myself what we have as human beings in common, the only important answer that I can think of is that it's not just that we die, that's obvious of all living beings, but that human beings are aware of the necessity of dying. We forget this rather too often, especially, I think, in the West. But Buddhism, if I might put that noble religion in a nutshell, is really a lifelong preparation for death. So it is with these few words that I look forward, as I'm sure you do, to an address by His Holiness the Dalai Lama on the subject of Tibetan views on dying.
I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to speak to you, having been invited here by this my old friend, and I'm very happy that you all gathered to come.
Now, I think I'll get you at the Now, since I'm going to speak something about the philosophical or certain deeper thing, I mean something deep religious practice. So, obviously, you know, my English could not could not express fully. So, I will speak in Tibetan. And my friend will translate. Ta thanggo de ngre. This morning I visited some medical center, hospital, and which tried to live long life. And we discuss with
Dr. Stevenson
about the reincarnations, how to born from previous life, this sort of thing. Now I am going to say something different, how to die. So, you see, what is important to remember about death and how to prepare the death, that is my topic, right?
Yes.
Topic. So, sound is something strange, isn't it? So, now the basic thing that, now the common law,
but the introduction
for
business life. First of all, I will give a slight introduction.
Now you see, every human being, by nature, the feeling of I, this sort of feeling, is by nature, that sort of thing is death. Now from that feeling, We, every being, every sentient being, want to happiness and do not want suffering. And also, we have right to gain happiness, and we have right to get rid of suffering. Now from that basis, now there you see, in the happiness or the suffering, there are many different kind of, what do you call, levels or different kinds of happiness as well as different kinds of suffering. Now you see material mainly related with the certain kinds of happiness, mainly related with physical happiness. And now the spiritual thing is mainly related with mental happiness. So now in the spiritual, now I mean another word, now since we have the two, I mean, things, physical as well as mind, so the combination, the material progress as well as internal progress, spiritual progress, is, I mean, something inseparable. Well, it is very important to combine and balance side by side. Then we can utilize the material progress in a smooth way. So from that viewpoint, the inner development is something important for society or human society. Now in the field of religion, there are many religions, and basically all religion, they, I mean, emphasis on the moral points. Right? Moral points. Their love, compassion. These things are more or less the same. Same point, or same topic, right? Same sutta, same idea, right? Idea devotion. So, now the Buddhism, Lord Buddha, the first Buddha's teaching, Tathagatashi.
Is that on the Four Noble Truths?
From
among the four truths, the first is that true suffering.
But tungay di shiva chal kaise marisha thangute.
It is very important to recognize suffering.
The suffering nature. Now here you see three categories.
There's the suffering pain itself, the suffering of change, and the suffering of pervasive conditioning. Once one recognizes suffering, one needs to identify its causes and get rid of those causes.
And
it's necessary to cultivate those path consciousnesses by which one achieves the cessation of suffering and its causes. This covers the four truths. Now the four truths are broken down into 16 attributes, four for each truth.
The
four attributes of true sufferings are impermanence, suffering, emptiness, and selflessness. And within the topic of impermanence, there are two types, coarse impermanence and subtle impermanence. Subtle impermanence refers to something that it seems scientists can get at because they are not just taking for granted the appearance of this solid object, but looking at the changes within the small elements that compose the object.
She's there, the Gigi 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 Gigi
The elements and the substances that compose these external objects disintegrate moment by moment, and the internal consciousnesses that observe those external objects also disintegrate moment by moment. Now, in terms of coarse impermanence, it's like the breaking of an object, or in terms of people, it's, say, a person's death. Now, there are the benefits to being mindful of death. As I said before, it is important to recognize suffering and then to confront it in order to overcome it.
Now here you see, like this, sooner or later, death will come. That is, we do not want. But anyway, that will come, definitely. So, you see, right from the beginning, if you think about that and prepare fully, then it can, help when actual death comes. So this is the chua chamber.
This is the purpose for becoming mindful of death.
But
what I'm explaining here is helped by the explanations given by Dr. Stevenson.
How? You see, if you believe just at this life, you do not accept next life, continuation of life, then that chua ma jene 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 jene.
Then it doesn't matter whether you're mindful of death or not.
But, you see, if this the chua mita wu hong yaga ta doctrine yong su jia lo di continuation ta yewe continuation di exception ta di theory gan le yu.
This meditation on death and impermanence is based on the very theory of the continuation of the consciousness in river.
Ta maung be jia ji yewe ji yindu zane ta chua di kado li ya gaso le tati ya hu shi tu na ane chua tao du hao yindu zane samlu du ngay yungu ma re taishin ngam ra yungu ma re peng gari shi.
Once there is another lifetime, once there is a continuation of the consciousness in rebirth, then it can only be helpful to prepare for it, to prepare for death, since then you most likely would not be frightened of the process of death. This is because if there are future lifetimes, the quality of that lifetime depends upon this lifetime. Therefore, if one conducts one's lifetime now in a good manner, this will be beneficial to the next one. Now, it's hatred, anger, attachment, and so forth that cause us not to be able to keep to conduct our lives in a favorable manner now. And one of the causes of this is the conception of permanence, which itself is indeed based on a conception of
permanence. No. There are other causes.
The conception of permanence is one of the causes of the generation of these unfavorable states of mind, even though there are other further causes, such as the conception of the inherent existence of objects.
Yeah. So, 다지 임베는다. 근데 이게 타네. 다 근데 이게 타네. 다 등진 로티 눈지 자연도 아니 세침에 천디 향자의 충도도.
Therefore, when one is able to decrease the degree of conception of permanence now, then one's attachment to this lifetime will become weaker. When you're able to keep impermanence in mind, when you're able to see that the very nature of things is that they disintegrate, then most likely you will not be shocked by events. And then, since the mind of death, or the mind at the time of dying, is something like a direct cause of the continuation into the next lifetime, it is important and it is possible to use the mind near the time of death in practice. No matter what has happened in terms of good and bad within this particular lifetime, that which happens right around the time of death is particularly
powerful.
In the Bodhisattva vehicle, and especially in the vehicle of mantra or tantra, there are explanations that correlate the three types of bodies that a Buddha has in the effect stage with three types of bodies that we have in the ordinary stage. And then three paths are posited by which these ordinary factors that are similar to enlightened factors can be used. And it is important to know about death through an explanation of this. Now, what is the entity or nature of death? It is the finishing or ending of the life. In the sutra system, the life is life is said to serve as a basis of warmth and consciousness. But in the tantric system, death is explained as the cessation of coarse winds or energies.
Inner winds.
Now, what happens as one dies? Different ways or conditions under which people die are set forth. One being dying when your own lifespan has been exhausted, One is to die when what merit has been exhausted.
And a third
is to die in an accident, due to an accident. Mm. This would be a case, for instance, of drinking, getting drunk, driving, and killing yourself on the highway.
The next life condition to be a mistake, indications vaguely,
there's a vague indication that appears near the time of death as to what kind of rebirth one will be taking. There's a difference in how the warmth gathers within the body. With some people, the warmth begins gathering or withdrawing from the upper part of the body, with others withdrawing from the bottom part of the body. It is worse for the warmth to start gathering from the top down, better for it to gather from the bottom up. Some people die peacefully, other people die within great fright. And at that time, to the person who's dying, various things appear to the mind. Now, in terms of explaining the mode of death from the point of view of the mantric or tantric systems, since death is related with the cessation of breath, and breath depends upon the body, a knowledge of a body is important. In the tantric system, the topics that are mainly explained here are those of the channels, inner winds, and drops. In the sutra system, 80,000 channels are set forth, whereas in the tantric system,
72,000.
And from within these, there are three that are most important. In terms of the internal winds, many different ones are explained. In general, there are 10 main ones.
Five main ones and five branches.
Out of which five are more main and the other five are secondary.
And
then when the essential drops are explained, are those the red and white ones. The red and white constituents. Due to the cause of various types of coursings of these inner winds and the drops in the channels, different types of appearances occur to the dying person.
That's charm of which I got it, that Dodos Lavina, Ravanyanas and Shinku, Ravanyanas, Kumuma, Kamshi, Gishi too, and you too, Shidu Yishin Asin, those two Nyanashi.
There are many points to be explained with regard to this, but among these, there's the topic of the 25 gross objects. These 25 being
Kumuma,
the five aggregates,
Kamshi,
the four constituents.
Mm-hmm.
The four elements.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the digital.
The six sources, the eye sense, and so forth.
Then it's also YouTube.
And the five objects, visible forms, sounds, odors, and so forth.
Then it's Shidu Yishina.
Then there are five ordinary wisdoms.
Ordinary wisdom to it.
Now, in terms of the actual process of death, these factors dissolve in stages, the first of which is the dissolution of the stage of the dissolution of visible forms. I'm not going to explain this in great detail, but roughly. When the aggregate of visible forms begins to disintegrate, this means that the earth constituent is losing its force, and as an external sign of that, the body begins to become thinner, narrower, subtler. And the freshness of one's appearance begins to deteriorate. And one has the sense that one's body is sinking under the ground, into the ground. And one's eyesight becomes unclear.
At
this time, one has a visionary sense of a mirage. Then after that, in the second stage, the aggregate of feelings begins to dissolve. And at that time, the water constituent begins to decrease in force. At that time, the tongue dries. Tear ducts in the eye begin to dry, and one's eyes move less. And then internally, one has a sense of an appearance of smoke.
Then
in the third stage, the aggregate of discriminations begins to dissolve. And at that time, the fire constituent begins to lessen in force.
And to do the third
time, once as an external sign, one's sense of heat diminishes. To your own thought, you're unable to remember things. Then as an internal sign, one has a sense of an appearance of fireflies. In the fourth stage, the aggregate compositional factors begins to dissolve, at which time the wind constituent begins to dissolve. Weakens. and at that time one's breath ceases.
Tene ko atan disha te kaso ugu jo che te du nang ka ta liya mame bawa te nawas mame teng bar cha do ta kada si nang su lo maro we na cha ne si ta gi ge mar chim chim yo de ta di pa chim 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 du chim 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 chi ta do sa de ba di ha ye ne mar hang de na wa sha
as an internal sign one has a sense of a burning reddish sort of flame previously there were many things like fireflies and so forth and this just leaves a, what you say, reddish central glow.
That didn't teach. That's the dying of the passage. She started to think of it. Then you could get married, top had Yamari Lungatari.
In general, people consider this to be death because one's heart is no longer beating, one is no longer breathing.
Dan, that's all. Dan, Nanzu Shabin, Tadu, and Mutuni, and that.
But from our point of view, one is just entering into death. One hasn't died yet.
That then, that kasore. Namshi ji pungbu dala. That namshi ji pungbu la kasore. Sheba chara. That yi. Wombe sheba ji thawan gasare. That yi ji sheba chenja le dawre. Yi ji sheba la chara mangbu chen. Chara mangbu chen. Yeba yindu. That dina ne. Thawan gundo jeju yoshi ji shambelung.
Then one's sense consciousnesses have already disappeared. The only consciousness that is left is that of the mental consciousness. And within the mental consciousness, there are many levels of coarseness and subtlety. And first of all, the coarse ones begin to dissolve, this being the dissolution of the 80 conceptual thoughts. When the 80 conceptual thoughts, together with the inner winds that serve as their mounts, dissolve, the, whitish appearance occurs. At this time, there is a radiant white appearance. There are no more external signs. This is compared to space that has just
moonlight filling.
Then when the mind of radiant white appearance dissolves, a more subtle mind appears, this mind being called that of appearance. It is a radiant red, increase. It is a mind of, called that of radiant red increase.
Data, the net digital, Chevashan, that long the Jabati, now in your total Timbe Negola, and Taduna Tarachini, that to do, now at the Nantum, Sug now.
Then when the mind of radiant red increase dissolves, a more subtle mind appears, this being the mind of radiant black near attainment, yet of complete darkness.
And then
when the mind of radiant black appearance, when the mind of radiant black near attainment dissolves together with the wind that serves as its mount, then the most subtle of all minds appears. It is called the fundamental mind. It This is because it is the very basis of all life.
대마인베 쉐바타라 지진 타말로 루보에.
And in relation to it, all other minds are just adventitious.
다 쉐베 균 통함해봤네 전에 산재가 사파 정해기 쉐바디 쉐바디샤.
Now it is this mind that has existed beginninglessly with each individual and goes on through each lifetime up through Buddhahood.
네 디샤사디 어느 달 여간에 뭐 샤야.
And an explanation of this is only given in highest yoga tantra.
다 디르 세텔라 수구 대부 여정이지 풍부 시라 먹고 지단다 수구 대부 여정이지 정신기다 아 전부지이나 델이야 샤고 숨좀 때리라.
Now, for a person who dies without much physical deterioration, that person will remain in the state of this mind of clear light, in the subtlest of minds, for about 3 days. Some people who have engaged in practices concerned with the channels, drops, and so forth, and have been able to identify the deep nature of mind, are able to recognize this deep state and remain in it. And they're able to remain, to have some control. Thus, there are some people who stay in the subtle mind of clear light for a week or even for a month. There are quite a number of instances of people who have been able to do this have occurred since our arrival in India in
1959.
Then when within that very subtle mind of clear light, there is a very slight movement, one begins the reverse process and goes back into the mind of radiant black near attainment.
And if
one is going to be reborn in the desire realm or form realm, these being realms, what do you say, the next birth requiring that there be an intermediate state, at that point the intermediate state begins. And it's a whole other topic to talk about the nature of the intermediate state, its cessation, and the connection to the next lifetime, and we don't have time to talk about that today. Therefore, it is very important to identify one's own mind, one's own, what do you say, the clear life of mind, the mind of clear life.
I mean, as a first step, in order to realize that subtlest mind, first step is realization of nature of mind. On the conventional level, the very nature of mind, realization, is something very important. Then concentrate on mind itself. You can increase the power of realization of mind. Through that method, you can control the mind itself. The strength of control, it can help the
what you call, the stop, the rough mind. Once you stop the rough mind, the automatically the subtle mind appears. So you see, before death comes, if we realize the subtle mind, that subtle mind that subtle mind transformed as a wisdom, then that is the strongest of the weapon to destroy ignorance. This is the
This is the mode of procedure.
Okay. So that I'm going to continue.